Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
In China, more than 50 million people are on lockdown as authorities race to try to contain the outbreak of the deadly coronavirus that's killed at least 100 people and infected thousands of others so far. China's viral outbreak is straining the resources of the frontline hospital staff in epidemic-stricken Wuhan, who've been focused, or rather forced, to turn away patients because of a lack of beds and basic medical supplies. Hospitals throughout Hubei province, home of the vast majority of the confirmed cases, posted messages on social media recently pleading for donated supplies as panicked consumers emptied store shelves of face masks and hand sanitizer. But what about the rest of Asia and the world? As the virus continues to spread, what impact might it have on their healthcare systems? How vulnerable is Asia's healthcare system to infectious diseases, even after having experienced the SARS outbreak almost two decades ago? To talk us through it is Sakshi Sikka, Senior Pharmaceuticals and Healthcare Analyst at Fitch Solutions and author of their recent report on the outlook for Asia's healthcare systems. Sakshi, as we speak, the number of people infected has been climbing, but some analysts and economists have said the impact on economies and markets may be short-lived. Does Fitch agree with this sentiment, especially since global markets really seem to have taken a beating today?
Hi, yes, thank you for having me. Yes, analysts at Fit Solutions do agree with this sentiment. While we are not ruling out any negative shocks to the Chinese financial markets in the short term, any impact is likely to be mild and short-lived, is what we believe. So while the epidemic poses downside risk to markets, we do not expect a crash nor an extended slump because of the result of this. The new health threat is, of course, likely to prove a deterrent to visitors, and that we've seen already both for business and pleasure. The services industry as a whole is likely to be negatively affected, and this comes at a very inopportune time with the Chinese economy already likely to slow in 2020, according to our estimates. And retail and services made up around 62% of the economy in 2019, compared to around 45% in 2003 during the SARS outbreak. So, of course, the downside risk to the service sector will prove bigger drag on the overall economy with the new virus, despite the likelihood that the virus will prove a less serious epidemic than SARS.
Can we put a dollar value to that estimate as to what kind of hit we should be prepared for?
So if we consider the economic impact of SARS, for example, it had costed the Chinese economy around $25 billion. And for the new virus right now, we cannot put a dollar value to what the impact might be. Only after the virus is contained can we assess the actual impact to the global economy. But for now, all we can say is that China's share of global GDP has increased to 16.5% from just around 4% in 2002 and 2003, meaning that the epidemic will have a greater impact on the global economy, even if the virus is mostly contained within China.
Right. One of the big questions, though, coming out is how quickly pharmaceutical companies can develop a possible vaccine, but that's not as easy as cranking it out tomorrow. I mean, we're hearing human testing might only be possible late this year. So what are the costs and steps entailed, and might this prove to be more of a cost burden than an opportunity for biopharm companies?
Right. So since the virus is new to science, there is no vaccine currently. And some of the experimental vaccines that the pharma companies are working on to target this virus could be ready for human testing in a few months. But then it could take up to a year to bring it to the market. But the thing is that this time the research groups worldwide are already executing plans to test vaccines, treatments, and other countermeasures, in contrast to what we saw during SARS. And a growing number of Chinese-listed companies, ranging from biotech firms, drug makers, mask producers, they're actively participating in this fight against the virus. So, of course, there's a huge opportunity we see for the biopharma companies around the world.
We're speaking with Sakshi Sikka, Senior Pharmaceuticals and Healthcare Analyst at Fitch Solutions. Sakshi, what sort of strain might this have on health systems here in Singapore and around the world in a worst-case scenario? Are healthcare systems in Asia ready to weather this sort of impact?
Right. So if you consider Singapore, all public hospitals have already raised their defenses to guard against this virus and curb its potential spread. So the National Center for Infectious Diseases in Tan Tock Seng Hospital is the country's quarantine center for now, where the patients infected with the virus are being admitted. and it already houses a large stockpile of equipment that is enough to supply all hospitals currently, should there be an outbreak. So we believe that, yes, the virus will strain the health system, but the health authorities now are better prepared. And if you look at China, China has already deployed hundreds of military medics to ease the pressure in Wuhan, and they've started building two hospitals with the aim of finishing it by within 10 days. So we believe that the healthcare system and hospitals now are far better prepared with improved surveillance systems, medication, and state-of-the-art medical facilities.
Even though this was so sudden, so acute, and so tremendous.
Yes, that's right.
So with the world so integrated as well at the level it is now, does the risk of possible outbreaks start to rise, and should governments and institutions factor this into their risk assessments?
Yeah, definitely the risk of outbreaks starts to increase. But what we believe is that Chinese authorities' response to the disease has been much faster, more decisive and open in contrast to what we saw during the SARS outbreak. Also, what we've seen is that in various airports in China and other Asian countries, medical staff is already being stationed alongside biosecurity staff to screen and conduct an initial diagnosis of people. Chinese authorities have also sealed off a few cities last week, suspending flights and trains. So definitely the governments are more prepared and they have factored this into their risk assessment.
Let's talk a bit more about the impact it'll have on Singapore in terms of healthcare costs and maybe certain sensitive sectors. Today already, Singapore's Minister of Trade and Industry, Chan Chun Sing, has said his ministry will help businesses. You mentioned it earlier, tourism, for example. They'll help out, say, travel agents, hospitality industries and such. How else might this impact Singapore's economy?
Right. So the regional economies, we believe, like that of Singapore also, are likely to be negatively affected from any further slowdown that the Chinese economy might witness as a result of this epidemic. Given that the China's economy share of the global economy has, you know, quadrupled since the SARS epidemic. And what we believe is that the worst affected countries will be those that are most dependent on the Chinese tourist spending during the Lunar New Year. So in addition to China itself, Hong Kong is the most exposed. Thailand, Vietnam are also vulnerable. And what we've seen is that travel, tourism, retail markets have been affected on concerns that the virus has already caused people to cancel their plans during the Chinese New Year holiday. And the virus has also impacted the airline and the hotel operator stock prices.
Also, Sakshi, the World Health Organization, which has sometimes been criticized for its handling of past disease outbreaks, admitted an error yesterday in its risk assessment of this particular outbreak. The Geneva-based UN agency said it was very high in China, the risk that is high at the regional level and high at the global level. And they explained that they stated incorrectly in previous reports that it was just moderate, the global risk. How much, though, does WHO's risk assessment of the situation factor into how governments and healthcare systems should react and respond?
Right, so WHO's risk assessment will definitely raise the level of the international support. It will enhance diplomatic efforts and security when it comes to handling this public health emergency of international concern if it's declared that. And it basically makes more money available to support the response teams. It also allows governments all over the world to, you know, coordinate an international health response to the outbreak.
Big thanks to Sakshi Sikka, Senior Pharmaceuticals and Healthcare Analyst at Fitch Solutions. Thanks for your time.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.